1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Drenching rain in Jamaica as they brace for a monster Category 5 Hurricane Melissa tomorrow. CBS's Jason Allen is in the capital of Kingston.
There is a lot of concern about flooding into some of the poorer neighborhoods. And in those places, there's really no preparation. There's no protection.
A close call for people in the Mississippi Gulf towns of Goshen and Pascagoula when tornadoes blew through.
Terrified, but I have my friends' family here. Praise the Lord.
Thanking God that we wasn't here. That's what I'm going to say. I'm thankful.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent reporting the U.S. and China are close to a trade deal ahead of President Trump's meeting with Xi Jinping in Seoul this week. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Terrified.
Here's Nancy.
One thing that we do know is that Bessent says that the Chinese have now signed off on a deal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A bill proposed in Madison could add a microbe to the list of official state symbols. Isabella Nieto has more.
Joe Handelsman is the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery and a plant pathologist at UW-Madison. She testified before the state assembly, pushing for lawmakers to make bacterium Lactococcus lactis the Wisconsin state microbe. The bacterium is used in cheesemaking, particularly in the production of cheddar, camembert, roquefort, and Colby cheese, which lawmakers have previously tried to make the state cheese. Handelsman says Wisconsin has a microbial economy, and alongside cheese, the growth of alfalfa, digestion of hay by cows, beer, sauerkraut, and bread are products of microbial processes. Wisconsin doesn't currently have an official state cheese, nor does it have an official state microbe. If the bill passes, the bacterium will be included in the Blue Book, the biennial guide to state government, alongside other state symbols like the state flower, state fish, and state soil.
Members of the Ho-Chunk Nation have an alternate option for food assistance, as funding for FoodShare, Wisconsin's food assistance program, is set to soon run out of funding. Ho-Chunk Nation members must first cancel their FoodShare benefits, then provide that documentation to the Ho-Chunk Nation Department of Health before applying for the Ho-Chunk Nation Food Distribution Program. Officials note you'll need to reapply for FoodShare if you want to return to that program once funding resumes, and it's possible there could be delays in reinstating FoodShare benefits. State Representative Vinnie Moresi will hold a town hall and food drive tomorrow from noon to 1 at the Portage County Public Library in Stevens Point. Those donating food should check expiration dates first. Food will be donated to Operation Bootstrap. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, but I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Let's get it going. Time to kick off the morning show for the week here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. I did not almost forget the call letters.
No.
Happen to me.
That was fine.
Your host, James.
Flawless, even.
Joined by our head producer out here at WFHR, our co-host, Laura, is with us.
Yeah, hi, that's me.
Hope you all are having a good morning out there. And hey, you had a good weekend. Thank you all for being with us. We got nothing but fun for you lined up over the next 2 hours. Going to get into the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. How many Americans have experienced at least one paranormal event?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Some interesting stats on that one.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour with the kitchens open, Beth will join us. Thanks to our friends at the Hotel Mead. Looking forward to it. Got a good one lined up for you today, too. Beth sent over the notes. I really enjoy it. Looking forward to that. Got some entertainment news for you. They misspelled Batman's name.
Is not hard to spell.
It's not. We got to get into
that. I'm sorry. I'm going to judge you.
It's very fair. And I want to make time sometime in the next 2 hours. The scariest on-screen villains of all time.
Okay.
We have all that going on. And we have a couple of other things that I want to get to because it's an exciting day around here at the studios. We've got Senator Teston here with us, part of his On the Job series. He's going to be ghosting us throughout the day, and we're going to put him to work
a little bit.
Show him, kind of the grind of radio.
Some of the basics of editing. We're going to record his Rapids Report interview that he normally does once a month, and then I'll show him how to make it into a podcast himself.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Really do appreciate him.
And I think
him.
He's going to be talking with the mayor later today, too.
Yeah. I really appreciate him being here. Of course, it's Halloween week, so we'll be talking Halloween, not only the topics, but events and times. We'll have that for you lined up. All of those things. I do want to start the show, though, and kick off the week on a good karma note and thank the greatest team in radio and everybody around here giving me the opportunity to be able to head to my hometown and remember one of my favorite people in the universe over the weekend. Really do appreciate that. Seth, Laura, Melissa, all of you guys doing some extra work around here. Of course, Pam and all the things that she does to help with all of that as well. Appreciate you guys very, very much. I got to see my sister. I've never been to Argyle, Madison. Argyle, right outside of Madison. I've never been to Argyle before.
Like a suburb situation?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Man, it is country over there. My sister has cows. My little sister has cows, and she was milking them, and the cows followed her like her two boys do.
And is she, like, flourishing?
Yes, yes.
And
just
I love that.
Really loving it.
Heck yeah.
That's living out there, man.
Yeah,
and,
how cool.
I forget what the sky looks like sometimes. And just out there, especially, I've been going to Madison my whole life, and Madison, beautiful, but has a bit of light pollution to it.
Sure.
Not in Argyle.
cool.
I found the constellations and everything.
Awesome.
It was great.
I do appreciate the thanking us, but like we were already here. It's fine.
Yeah. You guys I don't even know if anybody noticed I was gone. I don't know, but
we definitely did. And it was really cool to have Melissa on for the Rapids Report. That was really fun for everybody. It was cool.
She did a great job. She was amazing.
That's
surprising to zero people.
Right.
It was awesome.
Right.
Just appreciate everybody.
Yeah.
And I want to start off with some congratulations.
Oh.
A big thank you to Wisconsin Rapids Tribune's own Jamie Rokas, who put out the article letting us know that the Miss Wisconsin Rapids Scholarship Organization has two new reps that have joined us on these airwaves. Madison Graff was crowned Miss Wisconsin Rapids 2026.
All right.
And Gianna Peters was named Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen of 2026.
Awesome. Congratulations, you guys.
Both amazing kids. Mm-hmm. Nothing but amazing kids that were out for this and everything. Congratulations to everybody involved. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun getting to. It's such a pleasure getting to talk to them every year. This is a safe place. I want everybody to know that. Whatever we're talking about,
whatever we're doing.
We're all friends here. We're all good to each other. Positive vibes all around.
You shouldn't need to say these things.
I had a question pop up in my brain this weekend, and being in the car for like 17 hours back and forth between here and Chicago and all that.
Sure. All right. Lay it on me.
You got time to think. Is it sad to carve a pumpkin by yourself?
No. Because it's fun.
Well, my mother and my father thought this was hilarious and never even really gave me an answer because they were too busy laughing at me.
Okay.
But I threw it into this little
okay. All right.
A little behind the curtain look. Sometimes when I want to make sure that I have a question for the audience or something like that, I will throw it into my computer and bookmark it so I have the question there and I can pull it up out of my folders and everything.
Yeah.
I accidentally kind of threw this as a question into Googler.
Okay, and what did the Googler tell you?
It says, no, it's not sad to carve a pumpkin by yourself.
It's not sad.
And your parents should laugh at you for it, maybe.
I am so glad the Google machine agreed with me. Thank goodness.
We'd love to hear from you out there, everybody. But if you are carving a pumpkin this week, we got a note for you on it that I have not heard before.
Okay.
But I think, actually, I think you might have brought this up, and I think somebody
don't
else...
Don't make me remember things.
Exactly. I'm not trying to put you on the spot there with that, especially on a Monday morning.
Ugh.
But here's a bit of a pumpkin PSA for you. Stop cutting the stem off your pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is, you knew this already. I could have swore you brought this up.
Well, but I use it as a handle.
I love that.
That's the way you do it. Like, yeah. you cut the top off and you use it, like, the handle. But I've also cut the bottom off and set the candle just on my sidewalk or my stairs with the pumpkin on
that.
It. Or,
that's
you know,
cool.
you know, not a candle, but, those battery-operated votive things. And, yeah, then I just literally have a handle. So when that pumpkin is no more, I can just grab it by the handle and toss it under my lilacs for the critters to eat.
There's got to be ways nowadays of like keeping your pumpkin last longer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is or what you would do, but I imagine that by now there's a million life
there
hacks about that.
And the thing of it is, most of them make it so that you can't feed the critters the leftover pumpkin remains.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use them because I'd rather feed pumpkin bits to critters.
Mm. I almost forgot. I have to pause the story for a second.
Oh no!
Because I found a life hack this weekend.
Oh!
My parents were having trouble getting into their vehicle, and they have a fob.
Okay.
And they were trying, and the battery died. So they needed to get a new battery, all that, but they couldn't get into the vehicle, and they were freaking out. And my dad was very upset about this because his whole life,
fair,
he can get into his vehicle even if the battery's dead.
My key shouldn't need a battery.
Right.
Got it.
They found out that from the dealership that the fob, most, and I don't know if this is every fob, but most fobs, you push a little button and the physical key comes out.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go play around with my fob later.
Yeah, so you still have a physical key inside the fob. Why they don't tell you that? Well, I know why they don't tell you this, because so they can charge
it. But that really ought to be more publicized.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. back to the pumpkins.
Back to the pumpkins, but I had to get that one out there
no,
so everybody
important.
Knows. That's a good one.
It's a PSA from James.
And now a pumpkin PSA from pumpkins.
Thank you, pumpkins.
If you're going to carve some pumpkins this week, here's a tip. Don't cut the stem off. It will last longer if you cut a hole in the bottom of, or back of it instead. Points to Laura. Let me make sure that I don't think
I
have my
points. Oh, do we have the dinger?
I don't think I have my dinger anymore. Yeah.
No. Ding, 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 ding.
That's awesome. I also hadn't thought of the back. Of course.
Why it's got a bottom on it.
Oh, I think I might do that.
Well, the thing about the back, though, is the back only works if you're not cutting all the way through the front, if you're just carving, right? So that you can't, like, see through the hole.
Sure, sure, yeah. For those that didn't know, that the stem is actually what's attached to the vine that feeds the pumpkin. I don't know. I don't know if that's common knowledge. If it wasn't to the city boy over
here.
That's
how
so
it grows.
Right, right. I don't know if everybody knew that. I knew. I found that out decades ago. I've known that for a while.
Okay.
I was 30. So the stem of the pumpkin.
Someone take this guy out to a farm.
Right. Contains a lot of nutrients that require to keep your pumpkin healthy. So keeping it connected to the pumpkin is you know, really helps it as far as keeping it fresh for longer.
Yeah.
When the stem is left on, it helps seal the pumpkin and slow down the rotting.
All right.
So in summary, do not decapitate the pumpkin.
Don't do it.
Cut off its butt. It's much better.
Do it upside
down. But
it's
do it upside
fine.
Down. That's a good way to do that, actually. That's. What about when it comes to now? So for me, I like I love the stencils. I like doing a lot of those things and everything. But I think that when you got young kids, letting them just kind of like draw on the pumpkin, it's a rite of passage. Like, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I think it's fun for the kid to do.
The way that we do it is we kind of let the kids design their own stencil. So they draw it on a piece of paper, and then we pin it to the pumpkin. And usually I have an adult, but now that my kids are getting older, it's at a stage where the older ones might be able to carve it themselves. We do it that way. So it's kind of both of those things. But it's because I have super creative kids, and I don't want to limit their ideas. I can only be limited by, I guess, my abilities.
My family is a little similar. We've got really creative people, but I noticed, especially this weekend, how different we are. I write. Mm-hmm. I'm an actor, a lot of those things. My brother is a little more musical. My brother is a little more constructive with his creativity. It's sure. more of in the business world that he finds a lot of it and everything with coming up, working with the Wisconsin Herd and coming up with promotion ideas and things sure. like that. Nick's great at that stuff. Mm-hmm. My little sister, Jillian, has always been creative, but like more with coloring and drawing. We haven't seen a lot of stuff. She's been making her own cakes, like okay. doing a lot of those things where the crazy cake, the minion How cakes cool. and stuff. And she made Charlie, her youngest's Halloween costume. And she did it. Like, it looks really good. That's it's awesome. It's a robot. It That's looks awesome. Really good and stuff. And she you don't want to know what she spent on the idea. She made it because she didn't want to spend too much on the costume itself.
Right.
And now she spent a bunch just with she all ended putting up it
spending
together.
About the same but, because, yeah.
It's I think that is maybe it may be my favorite thing about Halloween sure. is the creativity part mm-hmm. of it.
I think so too.
That when I was young, I always thought it was just, well, everybody gets to be an actor that day. I love that everybody gets to act. Right. Everybody gets to pretend they're somebody sure. else or something
but that's
like
just cosplay.
That. Yeah, it's more so to, even when you're not even the people that aren't dressing up, but maybe they design their front yard, mm-hmm. or maybe they're not even doing that, but they're doing something when they're handing out candy
it's
and they
an
dress up.
It's an incredibly creative holiday.
It's got to be the most creative holiday we have.
Back when we were making our own Valentines, that was Ooh. A contender.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Or Easter baskets. Easter. That's a contender. Ah, and if you're like me and you have a really good time wrapping Christmas gifts, huh?
See, there's something creative about every holiday. There really is. There's something to that. Maybe Halloween a little more than others, but sure. you're right. There's something creative to every holiday. Yeah. Making Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Easter eggs,
I
sure.
didn't even think about that. Well, that's one of the best parts of holidays that I look at it now.
Cooking and baking would be considered creative to me, too.
Absolutely.
And every holiday has that.
100%. Yeah. You ever been in the kitchen with a good cook and they're missing an ingredient, but yet you don't notice that they missed an ingredient?
No, because they made it happen.
Yeah. That's a lot of creativity to that. And a lot of creativity went into our WFHR Halloween show.
Yeah.
It's back for a second year, maybe a third year, actually. We've been doing this for a couple
know.
Of years now.
It's all blurring together.
This is so much fun. This is put together by our team where we put this on Halloween and we mm-hmm. bring the whole team together and everybody gets to participate.
Yeah. We had everyone read. We've got some poems in there, some music in there, some short stories. What else do we have?
I know creepy poems.
Lots of good stuff.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time. And it's going to be airing throughout the trick-or-treating time, mm-hmm. right? So you can just pop that on and do your trick-or-treating and listen to scary stories and poems while you get in and out of your vehicle.
We are your Halloween soundtrack, everybody. Be sure to join us from 5 to 8 this Friday, Halloween, for WFHL's Halloween show. We could not get Vincent Price's. We just got me. So
we just got James.
Vincent Price Cost. That's what I am. That got me in the bargain deal. If you're a nonprofit group and you're hosting a Halloween activity for this week, we would love to hear about it, everybody. Let us know so we can get it on the airwaves and let our listeners know. Reach out to us. Email us info@wfhr.com or call the front desk to talk to Pam at 715-424-1300. Mm-hmm. Take a quick time out. We'll come back doing some celebrating with our friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Laura and James taking you through your morning on WFHR.
Ooh, boo! Did I scare you? Probably not, but I bet your aunt's mystery casserole for the holidays is going to scare your socks off. Why take a chance on a frightening meal this holiday? Take the fear out of the holidays with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Order your favorite items, have them delivered, and relax. The holidays can be frightful enough. Call 715-887-2213. That's 715-887-2233. Let El Cafe take the fear out of your holiday.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 5 to 8 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker's Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, Evolution Axe Throwing, and E-Way Sales and Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 5 to 8 if you dare.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe in the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you tomorrow to treat yourself at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. The gang over there off for today, but they'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be sure to get ready to join them and kick off your week the right way with our friends at El Cafe tomorrow, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Big shout out Fidel and the gang over there. We really appreciate them.
Absolutely. Big fans.
And, of course, we encourage you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. You can email us info at WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call on up.
715-424-2600 if you would like to speak to James and I, but if you don't and we can't blame you, you can call Pam at 715-424-1300.
Join the conversation. We'd love to talk with you, everybody. Taking a look at our local list here. Laura, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. We first up want to wish a very happy belated anniversary to our good friends Chuck and Chris Gennaro.
Oh, awesome.
They celebrated their 39th anniversary on October 25th, this Saturday. Sorry
Heck
we
yeah,
missed
Chuck.
It.
Chuck.
Congratulations to both of them. Chris is amazing, and you guys hear us talk about the soul of this station, Chuck, all the time.
Yeah, that's our station manager.
Mm-hmm. Best engineer in the business, one of our favorite
for sure.
people.
Yep, absolutely.
Just He's one of just, my favorite people,
just,
let alone
honestly,
this, in
yeah,
this industry.
Like, I hope to never lose Chuck, no matter where I am or what I'm doing. I really, really like him. He's good people.
Good people. Good people, both of
and,
them.
And congratulations to him and Christine on their anniversary.
You celebrate your 39th. Are you already thinking about the 40th and what you're going to do? I have no idea. I probably will have no. I never have any idea. So I'm guessing. That seems smart. That seems like a good way to do it. Happy anniversary, Chuck and Chris. And a very happy birthday today to Civic Media's Jamie Martin. Happy birthday to Jamie.
Yeah, that is the producer for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Jamie's awesome.
Jamie's awesome.
Wishing him a happy birthday. Jamie does a really good job
over
there.
Yeah, she's great.
She does a really good job. Did I say? I meant to say she.
You said they. It's okay.
Did I say that? Okay. Yeah. Enjoy your day, Jamie.
Absolutely.
We wish a very happy birthday to Jeff Fuller.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Jeff. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifiers celebrating their 52nd anniversary, Tim and Ann Stainbrook.
Oh, happy anniversary. Congratulations, guys.
Wishing you guys a great one. Enjoy the anniversary. 50,
Tim and Ann.
52.
52 Ooh, years.
Impressive.
Heck yeah.
That is impressive, you two. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. And thank you, everybody, getting us these. We love celebrating these. Yeah. We really do. The only problem is we don't have enough of them.
So email us at info@WFHR, your birthdays and anniversaries.
We take a look at our celebrity list. Who do you share your birthdays and anniversaries with? First up, Kelly Osbourne is 41. Happy birthday to her.
I've always liked her. I can't be mad at Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can have any idea what it is like to grow up, not just in the public eye, but in that family.
And to have been a teen girl with spotlights on her.
I think about it with Chelsea Clinton all the time.
Yeah.
And
they were contemporaries in a lot of ways. Like, they weren't that far removed from one another.
This has nothing to do with politics or style of music you like or anything. Just young people having to grow up in the public eye. That's
it's
just
tough.
That alone.
And,
couldn't imagine. I couldn't do it on my own.
Think about it. Being a teenager is rough. Being a kid is rough. And everybody's watching you do it.
I'm lucky I survived my teenage years just being me. I couldn't imagine being on that level.
We didn't really have social media when we were kids. We really lived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Patrick Fugit is 43. He is Kyle in Outkast, Young Will in Almost Famous.
Oh, sure.
It's been in a handful of movies. Good
one.
Oh, the great, the wonderful Simon Le Bon is 67.
Oh, fantastic.
Lead singer, songwriter for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
I will always be a Duran Duran fan.
Yeah, you will.
Can't help myself.
It's okay.
Robert Picardo is 72. Okay. The doctor, one of the doctors on Star Trek Voyage.
Yes. He was the doctor on Star Trek Voyager. He was a, was he an animatronic? Or, no, he was a computer projected doctor.
Oh, okay. A hologram.
Yes, that's the word. Okay. Thank you.
Roberto Bellini is 73. The half-crazy, half-Italian actor-director. Now, that just doesn't make any sense.
Now, I mean, come on.
You have to be...
He's both of those things.
Yeah, you're both of them, really. Life is Beautiful is the big film, the American film that you would know him as. He has a lot of great Italian films, if you like Italian noir or any of those things. They're a lot of fun, but... Life is Beautiful is one of the most inspiring and also difficult movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'll only watch it once. I can only handle it once, but man, it was a good movie. And he won that Oscar. And one of the, if not the most memorable, one of the most memorable acceptance speeches of all time. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to, he was having a hard time getting in and out of the seats.
Okay.
Just in general. And then when he won, he panicked. And so he just like walked on top of people basically like through. It's one of the greatest like acceptance speeches you'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And only he could have gotten away with that.
Right.
Like there's nobody else that would have ever get away with it. A great moment. Great moment. And otherwise, not always the greatest acceptance speeches, greatest memories from those
things.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of pressure. We need to give people a little more grace on acceptance speeches. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really easy to judge.
Right,
it's one of those things.
But put yourself in their
judge,
shoes just for a minute, man. That's a lot of pressure.
I used to get upset at Michael Bolton because he won a Grammy for When a Man Loves a Woman, and he thanked everybody under the sun except for Percy Sledge, the guy who originated the song. Well, hearing him talk about it years later and stuff, and nobody feels worse about it than Michael Bolton.
Right,
like and
we really got to give people more grace for that.
Yeah. John Cleese is 86. The legend.
I love him and his teeth.
So Monty Python, is an influence and big on a lot of people.
Yeah,
and he had his huge place in American culture.
Yeah. But he's one of the founding members. Yeah.
Yes. Not everybody from that show went on to have huge careers or big careers or anything.
They didn't all have faulty towers.
I don't think that anybody had the career that John Cleese did. As much as I love Eric Idle, as much as I love Terry Gilliam as a director, and Terry Gilliam's got some amazing credits on his career as a director.
I'd say Terry Gilliam's probably the one on par with John Cleese out of all of them.
John Cleese, with his rep, like the notoriety that he got and everything, and to your point with Fawlty Towers or some of these other shows that he did.
Fawlty Towers was brilliant.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Well, and that one had Michael Palin, too.
Yeah. And, of course, Kevin Kline, one of my all-time favorites.
Kevin Kline's great.
A great one. John Cleese, man. Happy 86 to him.
Happy 86.
Ivan Reitman would have been celebrating a birthday on this day. Second City's Own, director of Stripes, Meatballs, Ghostbusters, Twins, Junior, Kindergarten Cop, Dave. Ivan Reitman, one of the greatest comedic directors of all time. There is a wonderful, in his passing, because he passed away very suddenly, very out of the blue, kind of.
So we could have had even more. Holy cats.
There is a wonderful scholarship available through Second City if you want to go on and do art comedic directing, and it's in the Ivan Reitman name. It's a really beautiful thing. His son has gone on to do great things. Legend. One of our favorites, Laura, I know that we've talked about on both of our shows, whether it's Unlabeled or Burned Before Reading, the great Scott Weiland, born on this day in 1967.
Burned Before Listening.
I'm sorry. Burned Before Listening, the fantastic show you can catch Sunday nights at 9.
But Scott Weiland.
Weiland.
Who I adore. I had a very real, genuine cry when he passed. I had become a big fan, and I was really pulling for him in his sobriety and was sincerely bummed when it didn't work out. I think he's a really underrated vocalist. I think there is a level of vulnerability in his style of singing that is what really drew me to him in the first place.
I liked Velvet Revolver more than Guns N' Roses. There, I said it.
Same.
Same. You had basically Guns N' Roses, just with different
with Scott
lead singer.
Weiland.
Yeah.
And it was better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I like Stone Temple Pilots. I'm sorry. I don't
great
care.
Band.
I love
band.
It.
Also would have been celebrating a birthday on this day, born in 1858, former U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th president. From 1901 to 1909, he was the first president to ride an airplane, drive in a car, ride in a submarine. He inspired the teddy bear. He saved American football, oversaw the creation of the NCAA.
Yes, he did.
There are national park systems. There's so many things that the Roosevelts did. Teddy at the forefront of a lot of that. I think, like a lot of kids out there, one of my favorite assignments was doing on, you know, we always got to do assignments on presidents,
right? And you're going to pick the cowboy president, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, I did.
Nobody's shocked.
I felt like it was too on the nose for me to do
Lincoln. I probably did Lincoln like every other lame person.
That's the thing. The only reason I did is because I thought it was too on the nose. Otherwise, I'd have been like everybody else and done Lincoln,
or I'd have done something dumb like John Quincy Adams.
The Roosevelts. You cannot tell the history of America without the Roosevelts.
You can't.
You can't. Incredible impacts they had. And you guys had a great impact on the show. Thank you so much for adding your birthdays and anniversaries to our list. We appreciate you.
And congratulations to Tim and Ann.
Yeah. We'll be right back with some more show. We're going to come back and how many of us have experienced something paranormal? We got the stats on that one coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's budget season in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. This means city officials are working to review budgets throughout city departments. Mayor Matt Zacher says they have more work to do.
We have a ways to go to kind of fill the gap between what is being brought in, what's being spent.
One of the important funding issues the city is facing this year involves EMS services.
A big part of that conversation right now is the outlying contracted areas for EMS services that we've taken on over the years to provide the best services possible for all the contracted areas that we have around us. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that it's fair in terms of who's paying for what services and how that goes.
This isn't just an issue in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas, but a broader lack of EMS services affecting the entire state. A report in June from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health regarding fire service reliability identified concerns from fire chiefs of inadequate staffing and a lack of financial resources.
Making sure that we come up with a solution that's transparent and viable for their, not just now and the next couple of years, but really this is going to be an ongoing problem for probably the next couple of decades.
The Finance and Property Committee will review public safety budgets tomorrow at 5 p.m. at City Hall. Budget meetings will continue through mid-November. You can see the full list of budget and other city meetings at wirapids.gov. The Clark County Forestry and Parks ATV, UTV, and Navi Ridge Off-Road Motorcycles Trails will close for the season this coming Saturday. They're slated to reopen again on December 15th, weather permitting. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays being made and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just, do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some of you might remember Jeremy Renner from the less popular Bourne movie. It was pretty subpar, although not entirely his fault. In 2023, on New Year's Day, the mayor of Kingstown actor was seriously injured after saving his nephew from being crushed by a 14,000-pound snowplow. The Hurt Locker star had 30 broken bones, including 14 broken ribs, a spinal fracture, a broken tibia, a punctured lung, a sliced liver, a broken and dislocated collarbone, and a major head laceration. Season 4 of yet another Taylor popular Sheridan show, The Mayor of Kingstown, drops October 26th on Paramount. This is the age of the re-release, and you can add Wedding Crashers to the list of films that you can see soon on the big screen. The Owen Wilson Vince Vaughn comedy celebrates its 20th anniversary by heading back to theaters. Warner Brothers says the film will hit theaters again December 4th and 11th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tired of yelling bingo and never winning? Grab your friends and come throw something sharper at Evolution Throwing Company in Wisconsin Rapids. Trade your lucky cards for hatchets, your daubers for bullseyes, and your stress for laughs. It's fun, it's social, and it might just become your new favorite weekly ritual. From age 8 to 80, everyone's welcome to throw down. Call 715-712-0334 to book your lane today. Evolution Throwing Company, because hitting a bullseye feels way better than hitting B12.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We got some fun stuff going on here at the studios today. We'll send a shout out to Senator Teston joining us for his On the Job series.
Yes, thank you. It's cool.
You'll have more on that a little bit later. We'll wrap up our show talking with the senator. Mm-hmm. We'll have, I'm sure from him, you will be seeing some highlights from this too.
And we're going to record the Rapids Report today as well for him for the month. And so you'll get to hear that later today and tomorrow as well.
For now, when is the last time or if you have seen a ghost?
Okay.
We're not talking about the, 10-year-old with one of the bed sheets thrown on that she wasn't supposed to cut holes into, but she did and stuff.
Right. We're talking about the genuinely believing that you had a paranormal experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a new poll, 60% of Americans say that they have had at least one of 13 paranormal experiences.
That sounds right to me.
It doesn't seem far-fetched. It seems about right. It's also still kind of surprising. It's odd. It can be all of those things, but it's still, for me at least, I agree with you. And at the same time, that's a high number. Anytime I see a high number on these things, I'm a little surprised. So that's a little interesting to me.
Yeah.
Going down the list here, 35% of those people say that they have felt a presence or unknown energy.
Sure.
32% have smelled an unexplained odor.
Okay.
I apologized. 31% have heard an unexplained sound or music.
Okay.
26% have heard the voice of someone who wasn't there.
Okay.
That one I have experienced. That one
I've experienced all of those.
And I want to know from the audience too. Not just Laura, but certainly, yeah. And I want Laura's feedback on this, of course. But I want to hear from the audience on this one. If you've experienced any of these, or how you think of them?
Yeah, I think it's funny because I have experienced all of those at one time or another, and the funniest part of it to me is that I did spend a lot of time in a place that was supposedly haunted and have no experiences in that specific place, despite clearly being able to experience these things.
Sure, sure.
So I'm just, you know, throwing that out too.
I feel like that's what would happen to me if I stayed at the Pfister in Milwaukee.
Nothing.
Like I said, nothing happened. Yeah,
they're just not interested in me. Yeah, like, yeah, look at this guy.
It's like, then you start, you know, you start getting self-conscious about it. Like, am I not hauntable?
He's haunting himself. What are we for?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, the ghosts don't want to be around me. What's wrong with me? Who do you think you're?
Why? Let him haunt us?
What, you think you're so interesting, ghosts? 26% have felt an unexplained change in temperature.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
23% have seen lights or other devices turn on or off without explanation.
See, that's in the act of investigation, too.
18% have seen unexplained orbs of light.
Yep. Usually in pictures you see that, but sometimes by the naked eye it's possible.
I know. We were talking about this one over the weekend with, you know, lost loved ones and everything. Mm-hmm. And certainly older family members like grandparents and stuff. And how Jill is certain that her kids, her boys, have seen my Nana. You know, things like that. That they're the little kid that's staring off into nothing and laughing, you know, or something. What are they laughing at? All that. It's interesting.
There's sometimes more to things.
17% have seen an object move without explanation.
Okay.
16% have seen a spirit or a ghost.
Okay.
16% have also seen a door open or close without explanation.
Okay.
10% have seen an angel.
Okay.
9% have seen unexplained smoke.
Sure.
And 7% claim they've actually seen a demon.
All right, then.
Men, 38%, are more likely than women, 28%, to say it's likely the paranormal events they've experienced have scientific explanations.
Naturally.
Yes, 100%
natural. I feel like that specific stat is exactly why they set up the show X-Files the way that they did. It's what made it more interesting that the female lead was the skeptic.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think they did that on purpose. They wanted the men to like the female lead who was relating to them, and they wanted the women to like the very attractive male lead who was relating to them.
Probably pretty smart work on them on their part.
It was honestly a good show. I'd watch it again. 10 out of 10.
Around 40% of Americans believe in ghosts and psychics and demons and these things, but just 6% believe in vampires, werewolves, and that kind of thing.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
It's a big drop right there. There's a big difference
between a vaguely visual or audible or even scent-based experience and a physical thing that you can describe and see in terms of people believing or not believing. It's about broadness, right? I don't believe in Bigfoot necessarily, but I believe in ghosts.
You know, when it comes to ghosts or spirits, anything, whatever terms you want to use, those are things.
That's the thing. The wording is just so.
Yeah, anyway. It's a lot of gray area. But when it comes to those things, those were not man-made necessarily. Those were things that were kind of whatever your religious backgrounds or whatever your belief in the afterlife or whatever.
You're supposed to believe that it's a natural occurrence of some sort.
Since the first person we lost, we've been wondering what's next, what's after, and those
and
things.
And that's where, you know, people are tying in those vague, broad.
Whereas, like, vampires and werewolves, those are actually, in the scheme of history, recent inventions, recent creations.
I mean, to an extent,
That, you know, if you look at time, like on a clock, that it wasn't that long ago. There weren't vampires and werewolves in the BC.
Right.
You know, that kind
now,
of thing.
Now, I would say Bigfoot's an exception to that one, though. He's been part of the story as long as there's been people on the Americas, which has been quite a long time.
10% of people believe, what the oldest cryptoid is, and the oldest stories, those are always interesting to look into.
It's going to be the lizard creatures, like the giant dinosaur stuff. It's going to be those.
Some stuff, Kraken, maybe. You know,
the Kraken. It's going to be those kinds of things.
10% of people believe that they can physically see events in the future. 9% say that they can physically see events in the past. And 7% can physically see current events that they're not physically present for.
Sure.
Another 7% claim that they can communicate with the dead. Among 16% of Americans who claim that they've seen ghosts, more people say that they are good ghosts than not.
Okay.
31% say ghosts they've seen are good, 6% say evil, 24% say neutral, and 21% said a mix.
Okay. Well, and that's the so among people who investigate the paranormal, the general idea of it is, if we're going to believe in ghosts, we're going to believe that they used to be people. And so naturally, there are going to be a wide range of the way that they intend to do what they want to do. There's going to be a lot of different reasons and perspectives and ideas. And of course, you're going to see a lot of different things happen because they're as unique as people, because they used to be people.
Yeah, yeah. And when it comes to there was one other part of this that I wanted to get to, too, that's much better than what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
And maybe this goes without saying, but people who lived in a house they thought was haunted are more likely to say that they've experienced many paranormal events.
Well, naturally.
Except for you, where...
I didn't live in that house.
Oh, right,
it was so it was the lighthouse that my family used to vacation in Door County. So we used to be able to stay at Sherwood Point Lighthouse because my dad is retired military now. And you can rent it through the Coast Guard if you have a military ID. And so we would stay there. That lighthouse is supposedly haunted by a former lightkeeper's wife. Mm. And I never experienced anything from Millie. God rest her soul.
very interesting. So I feel like we have your answer, but please, give it to us if you want. But okay. I'm curious if anybody out there, would you or have you lived in a haunted house, a haunted apartment, anything like that before? I kind of thought you would really shy away from that.
To be honest, I do think there's a single apparition in my house still that is, hanging around. I would. I think I have before. I think I am now. It's not that big a deal.
Most places.
I just wish he paid rent.
I don't know the legality of these things necessarily.
Right? Can I loop him into the lease?
Well, it might be a fun thing to bring up with David with our realty report. Do you have to disclose
this?
Do
you have to disclose that?
When
that
you're
the previous
selling a
owners
home?
Thought it was haunted? Or is that something you intentionally hide from them?
I'm saying it a little bit, for content here,
but
I'm also kind of curious.
It's a little bit flippant, but it's also like, okay, but like, really?
I would think if you, especially good realtors, they know their audience. They know the people,
well,
so you
and
would
I think
know.
That might be it. I think you say what you say to make the sale to an extent.
I wouldn't shy away from it, but I got to admit, if I live in that house, they tell me it's haunted. I live in that house for 10 years, and I never experience anything. Again, I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? What is it about me that ghosts don't even want to haunt me? What is it? I'm taking that personal. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a little come on. What is it about? And we want to hear from you on this one, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let us know, 715-424-2600, or call or join us through the Civic Media app. Looking forward to talking and hanging out with each and every one of you.
Yeah.
For now, Laura and I will take a quick time out. We'll come back, have some more fun on the show. Morning show at WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Door works for the win.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Lauren James hanging out with you.
Hi.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll take you to the top of the hour. Going to kick off the 10 o'clock. Whoa, we got a fun 10 o'clock hour lined up.
We do.
I'm going to kick things off with The Kitchen's Open.
Yes,
Beth will join us. She's got a great one for us today. Shout out to the Hotel Mead sponsoring
always,
that segment.
And yes.
We'll also get into a little bit of entertainment news. They misspelled Batman's name.
Which is very easy to spell.
It's wrong. They shouldn't do that. The scariest on-screen villains of all time. And we will wrap up the show with Senator Tustin joining us as part of his On the Job series.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all of that. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good stuff. But right now, I want to dive into this one with you, Laura. The number one fear that people have this spooky season.
All right.
We've got a list here of, let me see here, of 10. The 10 things that we are scariest of, most scared of.
Okay. So this is the things we are scared of this spooky season.
What terrifies you? What scares you?
I don't know. I need more parameters.
Chapman University conducted an annual poll of real life fears everyday Americans have.
Okay.
And topping the list was corrupt government officials. 69% of us are afraid of that one. Afraid or very afraid of that one.
Now, is this Halloween specific or is just overall?
Because they are not really good. Chapman University, where you can go to their website, chapmanuniversity.gov, I believe, or .gov, you can go to and find a complete article. Mm-hmm. They didn't give a whole lot of the parameters of this one.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this survey.
and as a note here, it doesn't matter who's in power. It was also number one last year. And 10 consecutive years overall now.
Honestly, yeah, fair, same.
And I think it's fair to say that this is a fear, even outside of politics, people in power being
corrupt. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, the majority of people are not the people in power, so that's going to be a fear.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a very understandable, very relatable one. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that is a positive in that, and I'm looking at here, mm-hmm. is that the people that are in these jobs also have those fears.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's hopefully some comfort in that.
Yeah.
But that is both hilarious and accurate.
Yep. I'm not fighting with it.
Second on the list, people you love becoming seriously ill. 59% of us are afraid of that.
Sure.
Economic financial collapse, 58% on that one.
Mm-hmm.
This jumped from 15 last year.
Okay.
So that skyrocketed up from 15 to 13.
It's almost people can't afford things.
Yeah. Cyber terrorism comes in at number 50, with 56% at number 4.
Sure.
Wrapping up the top 5, people you love dying at 55%. Now, this seems cruel. It feels like at number 2 was people you love becoming ill, and at number 5, people you love dying.
Should be the same thing. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's. At number 6, the U.S. becoming involved in another world war.
Yep.
55% of people are stressed out for that.
Sure.
At number 7, pollution of drinking water. 55% of people
is huge in this area.
That's at number 7. It was at number 11 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Russia using nuclear weapons. 54% on that one. Now, again, I feel like they're...
I'm pretty sure that they just announced that they made a new one. Mm. So,
Number 9, pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. 54% of people are worried about that. That is up from number 13 to number 9.
That's a valid jump, honestly.
And number 10, government tracking of personal data. 53% of people are nervous about that.
How high did that one jump?
That was at 20 last year, number 10 now.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All I hate. I don't like this phrase, legitimate fear. I don't necessarily.
No, those
like
are all
that,
valid.
But they are, you know, valid. They are, for lack of a better way to put it.
Those are all fair. Those are my fears too. I just don't think of them specifically for Halloween. But like, yeah, they're relevant.
Yeah, I think they're. This is kind of. Tying in the scary,
it's
spooky
tongue-in-cheek-ish.
Season. Yes.
Yes.
Also on the list, notable things on there. Number 17: a fearing AI replacing people in your workforce in your particular field. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number 25:
we don't have the social safety net for that yet.
At number 25 is fearing a new pandemic or major epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
43: fear of sharks.
Okay.
Fear of sharks. And number 44: fear of heights.
All valid. This was the stuff I was expecting.
Right. And 64% fear of flying.
Okay, yeah. And how high'd that one jump?
That didn't say on this.
Boy, I wish they had.
Carry on. Yeah. And so this list is interesting on a number of different things.
Yeah.
And I think you could take a number of things from it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I appreciate about this list, and I think that we need to do, and I think you do yourself a lot better than... it's not to say that you shouldn't have fears or fears. Fears can be positive things in some ways. They keep you alert. They keep you aware.
Yeah.
It's how the human race has survived flight or fight.
Fight or flight, yeah.
You know, that stuff. But
fear is a natural, healthy human experience.
I think there's also something that we forget about with fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatable. It brings us, actually has an opportunity to bring us closer together.
It's human.
This list... it was filled out by people from all walks of the earth. Republicans, Democrats, rich, poor, man, woman, all of the above.
Fear is human.
Yeah. And I think that if we understand that a little bit more, if you understand what fear is man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is something we labeled.
It's always been there.
Yeah. And I think understanding it is, it's no different than, hey... Everybody has, maybe you don't like horror movies, but everybody's got at least some version of that you don't mind.
Sure.
Maybe you like silly horror movies. Maybe you like suspense. Whatever it is. We all have something like that. Mm-hmm. We all use fear in some ways. It's also one of the greatest motivators in human history is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Again, part of how we got here. I think it's important to just not look at these things as, oh, fear's bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, fear can be bad, but it isn't all bad.
Mm-hmm.
On this list, all not only relatable, but kind of taking it a different direction. And I thought that was interesting. But I love that they also included some things like fear of sharks or some of that.
Yeah. It felt like a well-rounded list in that way, I suppose, because it did get to the basics, you know, sharks, heights.
Let me double check here what the actual website is. Chapman.edu.
Okay.
Of course. Why did they get that? Of course, it's a university.
University.
They're all EDU.
Come on, man.
That's going to bug me now. That's going to bug me this morning. Had another one I wanted to touch on here, Laura, Halloween-wise.
All right.
Gargantuan gourds.
Ooh.
Gargantuan gourds.
I do like a squash.
Yes. Gargantuan gourds were transformed into sailing squash for the 2025 West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta races in Oregon.
Are people sitting in these?
Yes, I'm going to show you a little bit of a video.
People are sitting in giant pumpkins?
The annual event, which took place
Sunday, in a pumpkin,
featured hollowed out pumpkins being paddled across a lake by people in elaborate costumes. Quote, it's kind of ridiculous idea, which is why it's so popular, Heidi Marks, the event coordinator,
incredible.
Said. How often can you say that you've watched people in costume paddling 1,000-pound pumpkins on lakes?
You guys need to find these videos.
Parker Johnson, who dressed up as the very hungry caterpillar, took first place in the costume contest.
Oh, heck yeah.
Somebody else that finished too. Yeah, Jim Sherwood, who co-founded the Pacific Giant Vegetable Growers Group in 2001, was inspired to hold the initial West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta in 2004 after learning of a similar event in Canada.
Okay. Okay.
The quarter-mile race takes the form of multiple heats, one for growers, one for event sponsors, one for local officials, and two for the public.
Fantastic.
Wow, they got a bunch of these that go on.
This is awesome.
It's a true regatta.
This is awesome.
Participants in the public heats are chosen via a lottery system that begins in September. So they've got so many people that want to do this.
Oh, my word.
They got to really...
But not everybody gets in. Oh, my word.
That is... That is pretty darn good. I didn't realize that part of it. That was something in the article I had not read.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to try to show Laura this real quick here, some of this, but it's pretty fun.
Oh, no, this is incredible. Oh, she's dressed as a hot dog. And there's a minion. Oh, look, it's Guy Fieri.
I want to do this so bad.
Spectacular. That one's a gnome. There's lots of pumpkin gnomes. I love those. Oh, a pirate. Good.
I love the idea of growing
turtle.
Like just growing my own pumpkins. I like doing the idea of that. But
these
now
are
I want to
giant pumpkins that have been hollowed out kayak style, and there are people with literal kayak oars. Just going, just doing their thing, all in like costumes. Yeah, there he is as the very hungry caterpillar.
Which is a great choice, by the way.
Yes.
Great choice. Hungry caterpillar coming out of the pumpkin. That's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's really good.
Or any of the characters from James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
That would be excellent.
I like that.
Giant ladybug in there. Why not?
Do they? I just thought of something. I got to look up here.
Sorry, guys. He's thinking.
World's biggest jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh.
Because the hollowing out and everything is pretty cool, but man, making the world's biggest jack-o'-lantern would be pretty cool, and somebody, of course, already did it. 2,749-pound one carved from a pumpkin grown by Travis Ginger in 2023. This record was set in West Clarksville, New York.
Oh, how cool.
Another record holder is a 2,560-pound jack-o'-lantern carved by Mike Rudolph from a pumpkin also grown on Ginger in the same place.
Oh, so cool.
That's pretty interesting.
That
pretty interesting.
Is interesting.
We'll have more interesting stuff coming up for you in the next hour. Everybody going to kick off at 10 o'clock with the kitchens open. Got some entertainment news in there as mm-hmm. well, some other fun stories. And we'll wrap things up with talking with Senator Teston from his On the Job series.
Yep.
All coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News. A monster Hurricane Melissa is set to slam into Jamaica tomorrow. Correspondent Jason Allen is there.
This morning, the wind is really starting to gust in Kingston. The rain is blowing in sideways. The heaviest of the rain still hasn't hit yet, but we expect that over the next few hours.
Up to 40 inches could bring catastrophic flooding and landslides. SNAP food benefits on track to become the next casualty of the 27-day-old government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson still pinning the blame squarely on Democrats.
They have now voted 12 times to keep the government closed. And they'll have another chance today or tomorrow, maybe multiple times this week.
An American warship has docked in Trinidad and Tobago. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Venezuela has called the move a hostile provocation. This after the U.S. has struck multiple alleged drug trafficking boats in recent weeks, killing more than 40 people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.